Let's see, Kindle and NTI, and I think I might be on a different page. I think I, what page are you guys on? 178. So I would love to be more Kindle proficient. Yeah. I can look.
Yeah, I mean, it's so clear, you know, when you listen to those recordings.
It's good, isn't it?
It's really good.
Yeah, and I can even hear you guys pretty good when you talk. I think it's a great recorder. I'll look in just a second as soon as I get to where you are. I'm not Kindle proficient. It's so much easier for me to open a book than to find a page at the Kindle. Let's see, Luke 22 right there. Is that where you are, Luke 22?
Yes.
What do you think, Danielle? What do you think? Shouldn't I be able to, like, go to Luke 22?
Yeah.
Well, we'll go to Luke 23 and then go back. Okay.
I have a little triangle down at the bottom of Luke 22, 39 and 46.
So that's where.
Did we not finish that?
Well, no, we did not finish it. Yeah, so we are at, can somebody tell me the verses again?
39 to 46.
All right, I'll be there in just a second. Okay, now let me look and see what recorder I have. I'm on verses 39 to 46, which is page 178. And the recorder I have is called HD Recorder. It's quite simple. Yeah, HD Recorder. No, I think I paid a little bit, but it wasn't expensive. You know, it was a few bucks, maybe six or something. It wasn't expensive, but I did pay for it. All right, so we're at Luke chapter 22, verses 39 to 46, and here we go. There will be times within your mind when there will seem to be great fear as you move forward by doing all that I ask you to do. Know this. Great fear is nothing more than great resistance. And so the means for overcoming great fear is great willingness. Great willingness comes from remembering what you want. This is the time for accepting that the world is not real. For if you have given belief that the world is real, then you must believe that your fear is real also. And you will not be able to cross the threshold at which you stand and want to cross. For to cross over into reality, you must have accepted the awareness that what you know now in this world is not the reality of God. All right, so first of all, when we were reading the italics part, great fear is nothing more than great willingness. And so the means for overcoming great fear is great willingness. Did I say willingness? Great fear is nothing more than great resistance. And so the means for overcoming great fear is great willingness. And then great willingness comes from remembering what you want. I think that one of the things that I have become proficient at since I've been on the spiritual path is realizing what I really want. And I think realizing what I really want has made things 1,000 times easier because I don't feel torn. My friend Laurent, who used to live with me, he has a great story about when he was starting to realize what he wanted. He lived in Paris, and I lived in North Carolina, but he would stay with me for 3 months at a time, then have to go back for 2 months, then come back for 3 months. So he went through this. One time when he was in Paris, when he came back, he was going to meet me in Boston, and we were going to be teaching at a conference together, and this was his first time teaching at a conference with me, and he was pretty excited about that. So he was in Paris getting ready to come and teach in this conference, and if I remember this, I might get a few of the details a little wrong, but the gist of it I will get right. I think what happened was when he was getting ready to come back, there was some kind of an airline strike. I think strikes happen in France from time to time. Some kind of an airline strike or something happened, and he wasn't certain that the plane was even going to take off. And so he started to get very upset because he wanted to come back to the States and teach at this conference with me, and now it looked like this strike or whatever the problem was getting in the way. And then this idea about remembering to ask what you want came into his mind. And so the way he asked the question was, do I want to, you know, take off on time and teach at this conference, or do I want to awaken? And in asking that question, he was able to shift, and then he was able to be at peace with whatever was going to happen, right? Well, whatever happened, it was like a 4-hour strike or something. Whatever happened, it was taken care of quickly, and he did finally get on a plane and was heading towards the States. But Laurent was also a fairly tall guy. And he liked, you know, the exit row at least. He really would have preferred business class or first class. And I think if I remember the story correctly, he was in coach in the middle seat, right? And at first he's just very, very upset that he's in this cramped seat. And this is an overseas trip, right? You guys know what those are like, at least, you know, some of us do. Overseas trip, and he's cramped in the middle. And he starts getting all upset, and then he remembers, but what do I really want? Leg room or awakening? Right? And he's able to get himself centered, and then he's able to be at peace in his center seat. So that's just, you know, that's just his story, but it's a cute story, you know. But this is something that I have become proficient at. And, you know, maybe there's a few things that have been most helpful to me along the way, and this is one of those things. Learning to stop and say, but what do I really want here? Because, you know, if you're upset, you know, like if Jasmine told me, I think it was after Israel, she told me, you know, Mom, I got so sick and tired of hearing your voice. So if you're upset at the sound of my voice, you know, stop and notice, what is it that you're wanting right now? You know, you're wanting me to shut up. Well, what do I really want? Do I want her to shut up, or do I want to wake up? And it's almost like, you know, when you learn how to ask the question right, it's almost like you have two levels of wants within you. You have a higher level, kind of a surface want, which isn't even your truest want. I mean, it's there if you're not paying attention, if you're not aware, and it's driving your emotions, but it's not your deepest want. And so if you bring awareness to it and you ask, what do I really want? Do I want her to shut up or do I want to wake up? It's like a shift. A shift happens. You realize, no, what I really want is to wake up. And something in you changes so that the situation that just an instant ago was upsetting is no longer upsetting. Right? So that's what this is talking about. Great willingness comes from remembering what you want. Now, in this particular paragraph, it's talking about not just mild annoyances. It's actually talking about when there's great resistance. Great fear. But it's saying that whenever there is great fear, again, all that's needed is great willingness. And I certainly have stories about this. You know, probably one of the biggest stories that comes to my mind is when it seemed like my money was running out. You know, and you know, I have to support myself. I have to support my daughter. And when I first started working with the Foundation for the Holy Spirit and, you know, writing NTI and all of that, there were like almost no donations. I think there was one woman that gave like $100 a month, and that's it. Now, I guess you guys know nobody can live off of that, right? You've got that figured out? So there was like no money coming in, and yet I'm full-time teaching, full-time writing, full-time giving. We're talking about 4 years, and there's nothing coming back. And what's happening is I'm living off of my savings. Well, I'd only had so much savings. You know that too, right? I wasn't wealthy. So what began to happen is it began to run out. It never did run out completely, but it was getting down to like the last $10,000. You know, you could see the end of the money. And what started happening in my mind was this fear started coming up. Because money is a sense of security in our world. So this fear started coming up. And when the fear started coming up, I wanted to address it by figuring out for myself how to get money. And I started thinking about things like, at that time I was counseling maybe 4 or 5 people a day. I was on the phone all the time. And so I started thinking maybe I should start charging. I remember thinking $60 an hour. Somebody else was doing that. I could do that, $60 an hour. I don't remember what other ideas came. That's the only one I remember now. But these ideas came. But one thing I knew is I knew they were all coming from me. I couldn't lie and say it's guidance for me to start charging $60 an hour. I knew that it was coming from me. And you heard this story. It might sound familiar. I told this story in the Garden of Gethsemane when we were in Israel. But what started, I'm going to borrow your book in a second, okay? Because it takes me forever to turn pages in mine. But what happened during this period of time was I was asleep in the middle of the night, and I woke up, and it was 2:16 a.m. And I just went back to sleep, and there was this sense that I had slept a really long time, you know? And I woke up, and it was still 2:16 a.m. And I went back to sleep again. And again, there was this sense that I had slept for a really long time. And I woke up, and it was still 2:16 a.m. And that's when I realized that 2:16 was a prompt, that I was supposed to open NTI to page 2:16. And she's already got it open. She's a good assistant. And read. And if you open NTI to 2:16, you'll see there's an italics prayer right there on that page. I guess you guys have NTI. I can wait a second while you look. Did you go swimming with your book?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it looks like it. And here's what the prayer says. It says, Father, I do not know what is best for me now, in this time and this place, that I may be led back to you. Because I cannot see the path I am ready to walk, take my hand and send me your voice to guide me. I shall go where it asks me to go, and I shall do as it asks me to do in joy and peace and certainty. Now, what this prayer did is it reminded me of what I really wanted. You know, I was thinking what I really want is to figure out how to get money, which actually sounds reasonable to most people. But this reminded me that even more than figuring out how I'm going to get money, I want to wake up. Even more. And that I don't know how to do that, that I have to surrender. And it reminded me so well that I dropped all thoughts about how to make money. All thoughts. They dropped away instantly because that was such a good reminder for me. And I just decided money is not my business. My business is what I'm asked to do, the teaching, the writing, at that time the counseling, that's my business, and forget about the money. And it was probably about 2 months after that when I happened to meet a woman about a month after that for the first time, and she actually asked me, I was speaking at a gathering in Texas, and she actually asked me, what about money? How are you going to get money? And I told her, I don't know. I said, all I can say is watch me for a year and let's find out. You know, that was my answer. About a month late after that, I got an email from this woman, and she told me that she was guided to start tithing to me 10% of her income. And I thought that was really nice, you know, because again, people weren't donating back then, but I didn't expect 10% of anybody's income to be the answer to my financial problems. So I was really happy. But as it turns out, 10% of her income was the answer to my financial problems. But there's even more to the story, which I didn't know at the time. This woman is a psychiatrist, and she had always worked with this group in a hospital, and she had received guidance to leave the group and to start her own practice and not to advertise. Now, first of all, when you leave a hospital group, there's a contract you have. You can't take any of your clients with you. So you leave all of your clients with the group, and you're starting all over with no clients, and you can't advertise. And if I remember the details correctly, at the time she received the guidance to tithe to me, she only had like 3 or 4 clients. So she wrote and told me she was going to give me 10% of her income, and literally either that same day or the next day, the 3 or 4 clients that she had all quit. So she had no clients. So her thought was, I can't tithe to Regina. I got to write Regina back and tell her I can't do that. You know, I need my, you know, she's got office space, she's got her own bills, right? Now she's got no clients. But she decided to think about what she really wanted. And she decided that she wanted to awaken more than she wanted to listen to her fear thoughts. So she did not write to Regina and take that back. Instead, while shaking, okay, she wrote me a check for 10% of the last 2 weeks when she had 3 or 4 clients and sent it to me. Within 6 months, her client base grew and her income grew, that literally she was my means of support. Because remember, I still had a little bit more money, so it hadn't run out yet. she became the natural means of my support. That became the transition. It just went over to that. Isn't that an amazing story? Not just from my end, but from her end too. We both, what we did was we both made the same choice. Even though we seemed to be in one of the most fearful situations you can face, not having money, we both decided that we wanted to wake up, learn to trust God more than we wanted to solve this the way we always had before. And somehow, I mean, she doesn't know, you know, she didn't advertise. Her client showed up anyway. I didn't do anything. My financial support showed up anyway, right? And things go on.
I just read that when there's two minds thinking the same thought that is in harmony with God, that there's all kinds of
miracles. All kinds of miracles. You know, I don't think there is any way with our human minds that we can begin to fathom the power in decisions like the one that I just told you. I don't think we can begin to fathom our connections, not only the connections that seem to cause these horrific events, but you know, like the things that happened in Aurora last weekend, but also the connections that cause the miracles. You know? And that's what this is really all about. This is all about learning to make those choices with God, but because we're used to making those choices with ego, we're very, very afraid to start making choices with God, because believe it or not, we've learned to trust ego. In fact, one of the reasons we listen to fear is we think that fear is trying to warn us of danger and keep us safe. We actually trust fear. And so we do not want to disregard fear, because we think fear is trying to keep us safe, but that's not what's going on. Fear is actually the energy that's making all the things that cause us to feel vulnerable, right? So the moral of my story there was, even if it's great, great fear, by really remembering what you want, and this place exists. You don't have to make this place in you where you want God or awakening or whatever you call it more than whatever's facing you. It is there. You just have to remember. You just have to drop down into that. And then, if you pardon the expression, have the balls to stay there and let the miracles happen. And that's why this talks about, this is a time for accepting that the world is not real. For if you have given belief that the world is real, then you must believe that your fear is real also. So like in my story, if the world is real, then I must get out there and figure out how to make money, or my daughter and I are in trouble. But the fact that the world isn't real, the fact that the world is a manifestation of our thoughts, when our thoughts are changed, the manifestation also changes, right? See, that to me, that was the first honest understanding I had that the world wasn't real. Because if the world was real, thoughts would not affect it, right? It's true. And so if thoughts affect the world, then the world can't be real. Thoughts have more power than this, you know, this material matter here. All right, let's go ahead. Do you want to say something, Dave?
You're talking about perception. You're talking about thought forms.
I would say both, actually. When you say perception, you mean just like individual human perception, like how I perceive you?
Yeah, or I look out and I see something, the dog barking.
Yes.
And I have a perception about it, but then my thoughts about that change, and then I view the situation differently. And so I might feel more at peace about it. That would be a perceptual change.
Yes.
But I just want to clarify.
And sometimes it's a form. Yeah, this is one thing that you know, you can't ever promise anybody what the change is going to be. Because when you change your thought, you change from suffering to happiness. But whether the dog keeps barking and you're just okay with it now, or whether the dog suddenly quits barking when you let it go, that can't be predicted. It actually happens both ways. Sometimes the situation physically changes, and sometimes it doesn't have to. You're just okay with it. right? And but either way, you're now happy and not suffering. But yeah, both occurrences. So where people, I think, maybe get a little off on this is by thinking, if I accept this, that dog will shut up. That's not correct. That's a little off.
Bargaining.
Yeah, bargaining. That's bargaining with God. Yeah, that's a little off.
Bargaining.
Bargaining. Yeah. All right, so verses 47 to 53. The time that will come will usher you across its threshold if you but let it. So this is talking about awakening. For in order to cross over into the awareness of truth, you must not resist the crossing over by reaching for this world. This world you must let go because it is not reality. And so you must seek reality over illusion, and you must do it in peace and full willingness. So again, the Course says you can't see two worlds. You can't see two worlds. So we are literally in a process of deciding we don't want this world. Whether we think we do or not, we must, you know. We're in a process of deciding we don't want this world. Or the way Muji put it, and I saw posted the other day, is we're acquiring a taste for truth. And some people seem to do it immediately, I guess. Some of us seem to do it a little at a time. A little at a time, we decide, you know, like we had recognized the addiction to drama, and we start to decide, you know what, I don't want to be addicted to drama anymore. And then we start noticing ourselves wanting to tell those stories, and then we start saying, I'm not going to tell the story anyway. And it seems to be more of a gradual process. Or maybe some things are gradual and some things are more immediate. But, you know, one thing that NTI Matthew, I think, is chapter 20 says, is it says that for some people the journey seems, you know, longer or slower. For some people it seems shorter or quicker. It said, but it doesn't matter because when you arrive, the journey's totally forgotten. You know, it doesn't matter which journey it was. So, so we journey the way we journey, you know, and that's just the way it is. That's to be accepted, I think. But we, at least my experience is, and Stacy shared an experience tonight before we turn on the recorder, that actually when we are journeying, most of us do notice in one way or another the progress. We notice that somehow the mind is changing. You know, the way we reacted to this is much different than the way we would have reacted 6 months ago or a year ago. And I find that even that process is fun.
Yes, what?
Fun.
Fun.
Yeah, the process of observing the awakening is fun. Yeah. Okay, so verses 54 to 62. Remember what I am telling you now, and remember what it is that you want. You are on a sacred path, a path that is lit by the light of heaven. But in the hour when it seems that it may be dark, it is because you are remembering the world. Let go of the world. It is meaningless, based on a false premise and built of illusions believed. You do not want it anymore. Let go of the world. Reach only for the light of heaven. The light will lift you up and you will not know darkness anymore. So back to my story about when I was running out of money and I was really, really scared. When I was really, really scared, I was remembering the world, right? I was thinking, but I need money. I need to earn money. That's the only way we're going to be safe, you know, and I was remembering the world. But after I woke up at 2:16 a.m. and read that prayer, I remembered God. In that instant, I started feeling better. It was 2 months later before even the slightest appearance of a solution began to show up, and I didn't even know that was the solution till later, right? So it was months before I could have said, oh, look what happened, months. But in that duration, I was no longer afraid. It's not like the answer in form had to show up for my fear to disappear. My fear disappeared when I started remembering heaven instead of the world, you could say. When my attention shifted, the fear disappeared. Verses 63 to 71. One will accept what he is willing to accept. He cannot be asked to accept any more, for he will not even hear the request that he accept it. This is why you must be attentive to your own mind. For you are accepting that which you are willing to accept, but you are not accepting all that you want to accept because you are not yet fully willing. Do not let this distress you. Be glad that an awareness of limits has been brought to your mind. Be glad that the one who places these limits and removes them is you. For in this there lies a statement of your freedom and your truth. This is what you are to do. Watch your mind for limits that you have placed on your readiness and your willingness. Be willing that these limits be exposed to you. When they are exposed, do not defend them or fall into the trap of believing them once again. Instead, notice the limitation that has been placed upon your mind and say to it but this: I have limited myself by my own choosing through agreeing to believe this thought, but this thought has no meaning in reality. By keeping it within my mind, by judging it in any manner, I keep myself tied to illusions. All there is to do is to release this thought and open my mind to God. I am willing to be open to what I cannot expect and cannot judge, for that is the experience of truth, and truth is my reality. So two things came to mind. I'm going to start with the second one, which is at the bottom, where it says, I am willing to be open to what I cannot expect. The story I told you about the psychiatrist woman that tithed me and that ended up being my financial support, I couldn't have expected that. When my mind was thinking up how I was going to support myself, I swear to you, I not once thought, well, I'll meet this psychiatrist and she will tithe to me. You know what I mean? That was not anywhere near my thoughts, okay? So you know, the answer might be something that you would never even begin to imagine, right? Usually, yeah. You wouldn't even begin to imagine it.
I think Marianne Williamson says that the universe opens itself to assist you.
To assist you. Yes, the universe opens itself to assist you. The other thing that I thought of when I was reading this was that when I told Holy Spirit, okay, I'm willing to see my limits, because, you know, you really don't see where you're limiting God. You really don't see where you're not letting God in and you're still holding control. You're blind. These are your blind spots. So when I said, okay, I am willing to see now, one of the first things that I saw was that although I had turned, you know, certain things over to God, one thing I had not turned over was raising my daughter. I still thought it was my responsibility to raise my daughter. And not only that, I actually had a belief that, it sounds stupid now, but I had a belief that if I turned it over to God, God wouldn't do it the way I wanted it done. Right? How's that for control? And so when this was brought to my attention, this blind spot, I started giving willingness then to turn my raising of Jasmine over. And you could say that in a way it appeared that God wasn't doing it the way I wanted it done, but that's just because I was the idiot. You know, like, Jasmine has always been fairly physical. She still is fairly physical. And as a kid, she would like hang on me when I'm trying to walk through the house. You know, a couple times she got angry at me, would kick me over and over. And my reaction to these types of behaviors was to scream at her, to take control, to put her on timeout. But I was usually quite angry and wanted to punish her. So one of the things I would do, the meanest thing that I could do, I was not a person to beat my child, but the meanest thing I could do is I knew she loved her Banky, so I wouldn't let her take her Banky on timeout. I'd separate her from her comfort, right? And that was actually kind of vicious. That was my viciousness coming out. Well, what Spirit started guiding me to do was not react at all. Not react at all. In fact, I remember the very first day, the very first time this guidance came up, I was sitting in a rocking chair in my house, and I don't remember why Jasmine got mad at me, but she started kicking the back of the chair. Now, the back had a back, just like this chair does, so she wasn't physically kicking me, although I don't know if the guidance would have been any different, to be honest. I just was telling the story. But she started kicking the chair, and I felt that anger rise up, and I wanted to stand up and jump around there and scream at her, you know, and put her on timeout and separate her from her Banky. But Spirit just said, be patient. Do nothing. And so I sat in that chair and I listened. I still felt the anger. It wasn't like I wasn't angry. But I chose to listen to Spirit instead of listen to myself. That was the decision. Okay? And so I sat there and I was being patient even though I was angry and I could hear ego. I still sat there. Maybe a minute or two, I don't know how long, she suddenly stopped kicking me, walked around the chair, and gave me the sweetest hug. The sweetest hug. What has happened over time, as Spirit has told me many, many times, not to react, not to say nothing. You know, Jasmine's in my face, you know, saying something, and you know, before I would have interpreted it as disrespectful, and I would have yelled right back, and Spirit's like, don't say anything, don't do anything, is we're watching Jasmine's ego peter out, or at least that aspect of her ego. You know, it's just amazing. And what I realize now is just like I told you guys before with this other person, I was kind of playing ping pong. I was playing ping pong with Jasmine too, right? She yells at me, I yell at her. She kicks me, I put her in her room. You know, we're like playing this game. Your serve, you know, it's your turn. And what Spirit did was take me out of the game. And when I was taken out of the game, Jasmine's ego didn't have anybody to play with. And it just started to die. And Danielle lives with us, you know. It's just not much, is it? It's not like she never turns 15. I mean, you know, it never gives me those looks or never gets mad at me. But I don't respond, and they just end, don't they, at some point? They just stop. And that's something that I wouldn't have thought of. I would never have raised my daughter that way. Who knows what kind of a daughter I'd have today if I'd raised her my way? I mean, you know, who knows? So we do have limits. We do say, well, I can give this to Spirit and this, but this I have to handle. You know, this I need to be in control of. And we're wrong. We're wrong. There's nothing we need to be in control of. But probably the places where you think you need to be in control of, you don't even notice that you think that way yet. So what this is saying is give your willingness to see that. If you just say, I am willing to see where I limit God, you don't have to think about it. You don't have to go searching for it. It will just pop up. You will just become aware one day. Maybe you'll see yourself doing something or something. Something will be highlighted. And you'll go, oh my gosh, there's one right there. That's a place where I'm maintaining control and not trusting God. So that is the end of Luke chapter 22. So what I will do is stop the recorder. I would say that you're probably, I don't know that you'll necessarily get anything profound in a week. You might not. But I would say your assignment this week is probably, if you are willing, to start giving your willingness to see your limits, where you limit God, where you say, no, I need to handle this. But if nothing comes up that week, this week, that's okay. Just start giving that willingness. How's that sound? All right? So what I'm going to do is stop the recorder, and we'll do just a few minutes of silence, and then we'll talk about what we've read.